As I said in 1 Kings in the chapter 18, we'll commence reading at verse number 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifices and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal and let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, Go up, say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. Came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins, and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Now we end our reading there, and we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious truth. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Eternal God and Heavenly Father, we come humbly and reverently around thy word this morning, and we thank thee for it, and we pray that thou will bless us as we study thine infallible truth. We thank thee, our God, our Father, that thou hast promised to guide us into all truth by thy Holy Spirit, and I pray this morning that thou will take of thy word, and that we might be edified and blessed and instructed, those who know and love thee, that we might be better believers, and those who profess thy name, that the world might know that we are thine. We pray for any this morning that know not Christ. We pray that even this morning that they might experience the new birth and might experience what it is to be born of God and know what it is to have the blessed power of the Spirit of the Lord within them. And so, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that thou will help us as we meditate upon thy truth. For we pray in Jesus' name and for his glory and for his sake alone. Amen. Amen. Now, last Lord's Day, we were looking at this 18th chapter of the book of 1 Kings, and we noted in this passage of God's Word that whilst the fire of God fell upon the sacrifice, that was not the end of the battle that God's child had, because he had a further battle to begin. And of course, we're told in the verse number 41, Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink. There is the sound of abundance of rain. And we're told also in verse number 42 that Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. He cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees, and he cried unto the Lord. Now, as we look at this passage of God's Word, as we concluded last Lord's Day, we're looking at this, we notice that there was a prayer here that was based upon the promise of God. Because at the commencement of chapter 18, God instructed Elijah, Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And so therefore he was going, standing upon the promise that God had given unto him. And thank God, God would fulfill the promise that he had made. Now, not only was this a prayer that was based upon a promise, we notice, secondly, the place of his prayer. It says he went up to the top of Carmel, and he left the crowd aside, And he went to the top of Carmel alone with God. He and a servant went together. And the Bible says he fell on his face and put his face between his knees. And he cast himself down upon the earth to seek the face of God in prayer. And so we find indeed there was not only a time of public ministry, but there was a time of private seeking the face of God. And this was a time where he had to leave the crowd aside and get alone with God in the presence of God. After the excitement of the crowd, then there was the getting alone with God. And friend, let me tell you, every one of us this morning, if we want to have power with God, then there will have to be the time of getting alone with him and seeking his face and getting alone in the presence of God and seeking his power for the days that lie before us. And then thirdly, I want us to notice his posture, because he said he cast himself down upon the earth and he put his face between his knees. And there we see that he, as the one who stood before a crowd as an ambassador for the Lord, now he falls on his knees as an intercessor before the Lord. He was a man with great authority, and yet he realized that he had to cast himself down at the feet of the Lord, acknowledge his nothingness, and how important it is that we humble ourselves in the sight of God. And God has promised that if we do that, that God will lift us up. Now, we're just moving now because we were continuing. We want to continue now the study. And the fourth thing I want us to notice is the purpose. Why did he go up to the top of the mountain? And why did he cast himself down upon the earth? And why did he put his face between his knees? And it was this. He said unto his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And they went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. Now, what was his purpose of praying, friend? His purpose of praying was that God would answer the promise that he had made. God had promised rain, and he was asking God to fulfill his promise. And he was seeking that God would exalt his name and glorify his name through the sending of the rain in answer to his prayer. You'll notice if you go back in this chapter to verse number 37, he says, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. And so he was a man that was filled with zeal for the Lord and for the honor of the Lord. And you know, when he got before his face and got on his face before the Lord, he cried for God, oh God, send the rain. You see, he didn't say, Lord, just simply, Lord, whatever you want to do, send it. No, he knew what God was going to do. And therefore, he didn't speak in generalities. He named the thing that God had promised. And just as he called on God, send the fire, Lord, when it was fire that was needed. And now he's praying, Lord, send the rain, because that was the answer to the need. And friend, this morning, you and I need to know that when we request before God, our brother read this morning, ask, and it shall be given you. But you know, so many people that pray, and let me tell you, if you were to ask them at the end, what did you pray for? They could hardly tell you. And then they wonder why that God hasn't answered their prayer. I believe that we've got to be specific in our prayers. We've got to be specific. And whenever he fell on his face before God, he says, Lord, it's time for the rain. Fulfill your promise. You promised to send the rain. And that's what he was looking for. He was looking. His request was definite before the Lord. Now in Luke's Gospel chapter 11, I just want us to turn a moment there in Luke's Gospel chapter 11. It says there in verse number 9, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. And knock and it shall be opened unto you. Verse 11, if a son shall ask bread of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If he ask a fish, Will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or will he ask for an egg? Will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And friend, that's what God's servant, he was asking with a definite purpose in mind. Do you remember whenever the Lord was taken up into heaven, Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. The Bible tells us he was taken, before he was just taken up into heaven, he gave this instruction to his disciples. Luke 24, verse 49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. God has promised power. The Lord says, listen, ye shall be endued with power. But you have got to wait. You've got to tarry in prayer. And then turn to the book of the Acts of the Apostles, which is the follow-on, because Luke wrote the Acts of the Apostles. And as the Lord Jesus Christ was to be taken up in verse 8, it says, ye shall receive power. That's the promise. And friend, when you've got the promise, you and I should stand upon the promise. You and I should pray upon the promise and never let go of the promise, no matter whatever happens. No matter how dark the day is, no matter how tough the battle is, when God has given you a promise, hold on to the promises of God. The Lord said, listen, you tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with that power. And then he said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now go to verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. What were they praying for? They were praying for the promised power. They were saying, Lord, fulfill your promise. You see, God, you've given me a promise. Lord, you've given us a promise. We are claiming the promise. We're standing upon the promise that thou hast given unto us. You see, we've got to be definite in our prayers. And so many people, let me tell you, friend, whenever they come to prayer, they just flail around everywhere and get nowhere. Is that your prayer life? You're not specific in your prayer life. You're not really asking God specifically in your prayer life because, friend, you haven't the promise to stand upon. But when you get the promise, then thank God you hold it. In Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1, he says, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass in the field. God says, ask. But ask what? He says, ask of the Lord rain in the latter day. Ask the Lord for rain. Be specific in your prayers. See, the purpose of him getting on his knees before God, friend, and falling on his face before God, because he had a burden. He says, God, honor thy word. And he didn't ask for fire now. He says, God, it's rain we need. It's for rain we plead. Lord, send the rain. Just as he cried earlier, Lord, send the fire. But what stops us, friend? What stops us from getting answers to our prayers? Well, of course, if you turn with me to the book of James. In James chapter 4, and there we see in this chapter here. You see, our purpose of prayer is important. This is vital important. The purpose of praying. What is your purpose in prayer, friend? Because James chapter 4 digs deep into the human nature. And this is what he says here. James chapter 4, verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts, that ye war in your members? Then he says this. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. And then he says this, and then ye ask, but ye receive not. Because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. You see, the purpose of your prayer is important. You know, some people say, Lord, well, you know, Lord, I'd be a lot more comfortable if you give me a lot of money. Well, friend, that might be true in a certain way. And so you get down your knees, Lord, just fill my bank account. And friend, that may, you say, well, I've asked God. But is that what prayer's about? Is that what prayer's about? What's your purpose of praying? The purpose of Elijah's prayer was, Lord, send the rain. He was specific. He knew that that was the answer to the need of the hour. Why? Because God had promised to send the rain. And he says, God, fulfill your promise. This is not my lust. This is not my desire. This is not something that's implanted to, Lord, wouldn't it be more comfortable if there was rain? He wasn't looking for life to be more comfortable, friend. This was that God would be glorified, that the people would know you're the Lord God. Lord, fulfill the promise, for that's the need of the hour. And in verse number 2 of chapter 4 of James, it says, ye lust. And the word there is, ye set your heart and your mind in a thing. Barnes, the commentator, says, you wish to have something which you do not possess, and to which you have no just claim, and thus prompts to the effort to obtain it by force. You see, it starts with a thought and develops into an idea. Then that idea develops into a strong feeling, and then that develops into a longing, and then that develops into a flame, into a raging passion within us that fills the heart and the horizon of the mind. Strong desire. You know, actually the thought was the parent of the deed. And that's why it's important that our minds are fixed on the right things. Because, friend, if our thoughts, if our minds are fixed on the wrong things, then we'll ask for the wrong things. That's why the Word of God says, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Get your mind fixed upon godly things, godly desires, godly longings. But he says, you've set your mind on something which you haven't got, but you'd just like to have it. But he says this, you have not. You see, it's something to want. It's one thing to want something. It's quite another to have it. And then he says this, ye kill and desire to have, and yet you cannot obtain. The word there, kill, is destroy. Desire means envious. Describes the effect of the desire on the person who is not able to obtain the thing that he desires. He says, you would even kill just to have. But the Word God says, ye cannot obtain. You'll not obtain it. You'll not obtain it. And the word obtain has as its root a word meaning to hit the mark, to attain, to reach one's end, to be successful. But God says all these things are missing because you can't obtain it. Why? Because the purpose was wrong. We can say, Lord, bless me. And Lord, bless my desire. Lord, would you give me this? Because I want it. What's the purpose? The purpose of the prayer is the important. And then it says this, ye fight and ye war. And yet ye have not, because ye ask not. And friend, why didn't they ask? I'll tell you why. Because they knew. They knew perfectly well they couldn't honestly ask God for it. Because it wasn't what God wanted. They couldn't say, God, put your blessing upon this. And friend, to be honest, if I can't pray about something, then I'll never profit from it. That's a test. If I can't pray about it, if I can't say, God, you put your blessing, put your stamp of approval upon this. If I can't do that, then friend, let me tell you this, you'll never profit from it. Remember that? It's a principle of God's word. And that's what God says this. You fight in your war, but ye have not because ye ask not because you know God can't put his approval there. And then he says this, ye ask and ye receive not because you ask amiss. You're asking wrongly. You're asking out of place. And that comes back to what I've been saying, the improper motive, the improper objective, the attitude, the approach is wrong. And that's why it says, ye ask and ye receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. See, when Elijah was praying, friend, he wasn't saying, God, I want you to honor me by sending the rain. I want the people of Israel, I want them to look at me and say, there is a wonderful man, Elijah. No, Elijah was consumed with the glory and the honor of God. That's all he cared about. And that's what he prayed about. Lord, that the people might know, going back to 1 Kings chapter 18, that the people might know that thou art the Lord God. And therefore, there we see the purpose of his prayer. He says, God, send the rain. It was rain. What was he longed for? That's what the need was. But notice next, fifthly, notice the pattern here. Because there is a pattern. If you keep your hand there, turn to James chapter 5. That's the corresponding passage of God's word. James chapter 5 that speaks about this occasion. And in James chapter 5, look at verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not upon the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Notice what it says here. He prayed. He prayed. Now, he didn't scream and shout. Doesn't say that he, remember, the prophets of Baal, they screamed, they shout, they cut themselves, they did all these exercises to prove their earnestness. But it's what the Holy Ghost says about Elijah, verse 17. He prayed earnestly. That's how it sums it up. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain. You see, it wasn't a cold, formal prayer, lifeless prayer. It wasn't a mechanical prayer. The word earnestly means he prayed with prayer. He prayed with prayer. My, there was energy in that prayer. He felt the pressure of the things that he prayed for. Now, I think it's interesting in James chapter 5 what you and I can pray for. Verses 14 and 15. Is any sick among you? Then call for the elders of the church. Let them pray. So we can pray about our health. We can pray about physical things. If you look there in verses 17 and 18, he prayed that it might rain. So in other words, we can pray for temporal things. And then 19 and 20, he prayed for spiritual things. The saving of a soul. But what's the prayer that prevails, friend? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. That's what it says in verse 16. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The prayer of a righteous man prevails with God. What does that mean? A man who's in the right relationship with God. In a right relationship with God. Effectual. That word effectual, the Greek word translated effectual, is the root from which we get another word, energy. Energetic. There's energy in this prayer. There was passion in this prayer. My, it was a prayer that he was not going to be denied. He said, Lord, I want you to honor your word for the glory of thy name. It is also stretched out. The picture of an athlete stretching for the finish line with his last gasp of energy. That's the word there, effectual. That's why some of the godly men, let me tell you, in the past, whenever they prayed, I can tell you there was energy in their prayers. Remember the Lord Jesus prayed in the garden. It says, he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. There was the energy of prayer. It is said by some of the godly men of the past, let me tell you, they knelt in prayer in the snow, friend, and let me tell you, as there was so much was the energy of their prayer, that the snow melted around them. Is that the kind of praying we do? Is that the energetic prayer, the passion we put in prayer, earnestly prayed with prayer? There is nothing else in it but prayer. And that's what Elijah did. And that tells me the pattern of prayer. And then, next, the persistence of prayer. Look at verse 43. And he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and he looked and said, there's nothing. And he said, go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. What was this, friend? He was expectant in prayer. He was expecting God to answer. I remember a person was in a meeting one night, a young lad was in a meeting one night, and the preacher was praying that if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could remove a mountain. And he told that to his father, and just outside their house, there was this big mountain, let me tell you, and beyond the mountain was a lovely lake. And many times the father and son would talk about it, and they said, you know, Daddy, if that old mountain was out of the road, we would be looking out on a beautiful lake. And then he said, you know, Daddy, didn't the preacher say that if I had faith as a grain of mustard seed, that I could remove that mountain? The wee boy got down on his knees and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed and he got up the next morning. He pulled the curtains back and he looked out and the mountain was still there. He said, I just thought it would be. And to be honest, let me tell you, if God was to answer your prayer, friend, some of you would be surprised. Do you know why? You're not expecting. Oh, yes. You go through the exercise. But you're not expecting God. Let me tell you, Elijah's on his knees. And whenever he said to his servant, he says, go up and look toward the sea. And the servant came back and he says, I saw nothing. He says, go again. I saw nothing. Go again. Keep on going. Because he was expecting God to send something. Are you expecting God to do something, friend? Night after night, you've prayed. Maybe it's for loved ones that are not saved. Are you expecting God to answer that prayer someday? Or are you just going through the exercises? You see, what he was saying to his servant is this, watch for the answer. Look out for the answer. Are you looking out for the answer for your prayers, friend? Are you really praying, expecting God to move? Persistency in prayer. Seven times nothing. So what's the use? No, friend. He says, go the eighth time. Keep going. And as the servant went to keep watching, Elijah kept on praying. He kept on believing. He never lost hope. He just waited on God. But he knew God was going to answer prayer, because he stood in the promise of God. Lord, you promised you'd send the rain. There's some people in this house of God this morning, friend, and some of you have been praying for years, perhaps for a loved one. And here after the end of years, they're as hard as they ever were, perhaps even harder. And looking at the circumstances of your loved one, friend, let me tell you, the devil will say, there's no use you praying because God's doing nothing with them. God can't do nothing with them because they're that hard. And God's passed them by and God has given them up. Let me tell you, friend, Elijah never allowed circumstances to change his faith in God. He kept on believing. And then, on the eighth time, or seventh time, verse 44, it came to pass the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud. A little cloud. It's just like a man's hand. But that was enough for Elijah. He believed the rain was coming. It was just a little cloud. It doesn't even say a dark cloud. It was just a little cloud. It was only the size of a man, totally insignificant. But he believed God. Friend, believe God this morning. Take God at his promise. Stand upon his promises. Don't give up hope. Keep on praying. Keep on believing. For thank God, Elijah's persistence was not in vain. Do you know what the little cloud was, friend? It was just a token from God for good. Oh, that God would send the token. Give me a token for good. That's what the psalmist prayed. Lord, give me a token for good. And God did not disappoint his expectations. Now, we've got to finish, but look quickly, lastly, the preparation. It came to pass that the seventh time that he said, behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. Only a little cloud, but he says, that the rain stop thee not. Well, this was going to be a deluge. Verse 45, and it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Elijah rode, or Ahab rode, and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Notice, whenever the servant came back and said, it's only a little cloud, Elijah didn't minimize the significance of that little cloud. He took encouragement from it. And that's what you and I need to do. We need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. So convinced was he that the windows of heaven were going to open and the plenteous of showers are going to fall, that he sent a servant immediately to Ahab and says, get down, the rain's coming. And if you don't go now, the rain will stop your chariot. In other words, your chariot wheels will sink into the muck. And you'll not get back to Jezreel at all. Get ready, the rain's coming. And friend, I love that scene. And I'll tell you why. Ahab rode, it says in verse 45, and he went to Jezreel. And it says, the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and Elijah ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Ahab is racing in his chariot towards Jezreel. He's trying to outrun the storm. And then he hears the sound of feet. You can imagine, boy, he was driving those horses on in that chariot to get home. And all of a sudden, he hears feet behind him. And then they're alongside him. And then the feet's running in front of him. And who was it? Elijah. Now, here's the significance there. Listen. It was 18 to 20 miles to Jezreel. And the man of God outrun the horses. He beat the horses. Now remember, he was after the battle on the top of the mountain. He was after the time of the fire falling upon the altar. And yet he's running and running, and he outruns the activity of the horses. You say, how did he do it? We've got the secret in verse 46. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. There was the source of his running. It was the Lord. And friend, let me tell you, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. God can give you the grace. God can give you the strength to keep going, even when it seems that the heavens is brass. Even when it seems that there's nothing happening, God can give you the grace to keep going. Keep your eyes upon him. Keep on believing. Keep on trusting. Keep on praying. Keep on rejoicing. For God's going to answer prayer. God's going to send the rain. Just as God surely sent the fire. Here's my question. Do you believe that? Our land's barren and dry. Our service for God has been barren and dry, and barren it shall remain until we're blessed with the fire from on high and the sound of abundance of rain. Do you believe that God can do it again? Elijah did. But notice what he had to do. The hand of the Lord was on Elijah. Yes. That was the source. But here's the secret. Elijah girded up his loins and ran before Ahab. And what that meant was this. His loins, friend, let me tell you, would have kept him from running well. And so he took his mantle about him, he wrapped his mantle about him, he tucked the end of his robe into the belt so that his feet wouldn't be entangled in anything along the way. He was able to run with patience the race that is set before us. And what does God say to you and me? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Thank God there's victory. There's power and there's victory available for the people of God if you'll only believe him. Will you believe him this morning? Trust him with all thy heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. When we come back the next time, friend, notice he stayed outside the gate of Jezreel. He didn't go in. Yes, Ahab did. He stopped outside. because God gave him wisdom. And we have got to use wisdom, because inside that city was a wicked woman that would influence Ahab against the man of God. Pray that God will give you wisdom to act wisely, even in days of adversity, that you'll glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless thy word today. We thank thee and we praise thee for thy precious word, and thou art still the same God, the God of Elijah. Thou hast not changed. We thank thee for answering Elijah's prayer. And God, you can answer our prayer. But, oh God, we pray that you'll grant that the purpose of our prayer will be righteous. Oh God, grant that we not ask it for our own selves, but we'll ask our God for answers of prayer, that the name of Jesus will be glorified, that the world might know that thou art God alone. Separate us with thy blessing today. Keep thy hand upon us for good. And for those who have never trusted you, oh God, today help them by faith to reach out that hand and claim that promise that him or her that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Save them. In Jesus' name. Amen.